The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Saoirse Hanley is with me, features writer with the Irish Independent, and Ger Gilroy from Off The Ball, picking their winners and sinners from the week gone by. Ger, your winner is a bit passé now. I'm done.
No. So I've been in a deep dive in the aftermath of the Oasis gigs. Look, mm-hmm. on last minute tickets.
Did you pay for them? Did our shameless plugging on this show help get those tickets?
It definitely helped.
Yes. I love when our positions are abused.
There you go. Shane Hannan was also claiming credit for it, because he was asking for tickets for Column on Saturday, and somebody came forward and they had spares.
No, that it was us. It was us what done it. Yeah, it was a Hard Shoulder what done it.
It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. And I just think the aftermath has been great. That footage of the people outside who are totally not supposed to be there, and the cops are checking tickets, they're obviously not doing a great job. Lots of people with no tickets show up and they have this sing song and nobody's happy about it in the moment. It's like, oh, this is bad. And but then the videos go viral. Irish Sign Language for Morning Glory, which we all now know.
Yes.
Everybody's seen this. That one, the Ma, we saw the Ma. So...
Who, Peggy?
Yeah. I hadn't seen the documentary until...
Oh, yeah?
I only watched it during the week. Because when it came out, I was kind of done with them. I was like, this is like...
Ancient history. Yeah, exactly.
But then you go to the gig and you're like, this was two seminal albums of my youth, just before I went to college, in my first year in college. And so Wonderwall is Christmas of our first year. So that's kind of peak, all of that stuff happening. And I knew nothing about Peggy, but she's proper Mayo, like dyed in the wool, still has the Mayo accent. And in the documentary, it turns out the dad was such an evil. He's the supervillain of the piece, right? Mm. He beat her. He beat two of the boys, but not Liam. And Peggy was
just as an age thing. He hadn't kind of gotten around to beating him yet,
They could never quite work it out.
Okay, yeah.
And so there was like, obviously that feeds into the sibling rivalry and the anger. And the documentary is on the RT player, so like everybody can watch it, and it is really good. Asif Kapadia is one of the executive producers who made Amy Winehouse and Senna and all those. So
yeah,
it's not nonsense. And they hadn't come together again in the documentary. They were still not talking. So obviously, fast forward now, and there's Peggy coming out of the bathroom and heading into her box. I didn't know who she was at that stage. It was only afterwards. If I had seen the documentary in advance, we would have been straight over. Owen and Sheehan shamelessly tried to get in, but security was like, I'm sorry, you cannot go in and get your photograph taken. And you're being very polite.
Do you know who I am to security?
I don't think you did. It is Croke Park, though, so you'd expect them all to...
Yeah, maybe have known who he was. What was the atmosphere like? Brilliant.
Yeah, incredible. Like, everybody's been talking about it all week, right? But it was one of those kind of things where suddenly people are just in it, and whatever cynicism some of the people in the crowd might have had fell away straight away by a bunch of people having a good time together, multi-generational, and everybody knew all the words to everything. Which is very rare.
It was really nice. I was there too. It was great.
What night were you there?
Sunday.
Yeah, I was there on Sunday too.
Brilliant.
And I just don't... So they'll never play that set list again. They'll do Nebworth and Slane next year, it seems. And
yeah.
Maybe they'll write some new stuff, which would be a bad idea.
Don't write new stuff. We don't want to hear it.
But maybe they just do the exact same set list next year, and there's like an 18-month period now where they just cash in and all this. But yeah, it was sensational.
It was real. I'm calling it the Beeras Tour, like the Eras Tour, but for beer and men. It was like the atmosphere and the vibe was exactly what it was Taylor last year, I thought, but like with a slight age demographic change and gender demographic change. It was actually really nice. And I meant to say this, huge lack of phones in the audience, which was lovely.
Yes.
Like when you go to a gig and you look ahead and all you can see is just like phones.
Huge lack of phones, all my social media for half the week was just saturated by a combination of just crowd shots from slightly different angles, the kind of lots of just balding heads, lots of bald patches at the back of heads, and then just really shoddy video. Somebody brought their Ring doorbell and recorded it on their Ring doorbell.
Oh, really?
Did you see this?
Wow.
Yeah, I saw someone sent me this video. After I was giving out about all the videos online, somebody sent me a link to a video of somebody recorded it on their Ring doorbell. Anyway.
I can't tell if that's genius or total madness.
Total madness. Total madness. Total madness. So who then is your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is Miss Sally Rooney. Our wonderful Irish author, Sally Rooney. She is in the headlines all this week because of a controversy in the UK with a promise she has made to pledge all of the earnings that she makes off of the books and the various adaptations in the UK and through it being on the BBC, that she is going to donate all of that money or put it towards Palestine Action, which obviously the UK government has deemed a terrorist organisation most recently because a few people representing that group went into an RAF what you call like a hangar
and base spray painted whatever,
the side
yeah.
of yeah base yeah and spray painted the side of these planes, and they have since been deemed, and a couple of other things were in the running for that of calling them a terrorist organisation, but they've been deemed that by the UK. And Sally Rooney has said in a column in the Irish Times, she was like, I don't care, actually I'm going to still keep donating to that and other causes that are working against, you know, fighting against genocide in Palestine. And I just think, like, we're talking about it in the last couple of weeks anyway because of obviously Mulcara from NECAP being up in the courts because of other various things under that terrorist act, and it's very much a debate as to whether these things fall under the remit of that or not. But I just think she could face arrest for that, which I think we sometimes think is silly and not going to happen. But famously, as I was just saying, with the likes of Mulcara and NECAP, it is happening. And it is still, even if you think, sure, Sally Rooney has lots of money, she'll get away with it, it's all fine. But there is still a real bravery and courage to standing up and being like, this is what I believe in, this is what I think is wrong, and this is what I'm willing to do for that, and this is what I'm putting on the line for that. I think it's very admirable and very good of her. And as everyone said, more excuse for her not to have to go to the UK. Like, stay in the West of Ireland, Sally, you'll be all right.
Do you have any kind of cynical view of this?
No, not with Sally Rooney. I think she's been consistent the whole
time. Yeah. It would have been very easy for her to just to continue pledging support for Palestinian kind of groups and whatever, yeah, and just divert the funding away from Palestinian Action.
Yeah.
There's definitely, she could keep doing all of that and getting all the plaudits without exposing herself to kind of arrest. So yeah, it is a proper stance.
It seems to be a principle thing, doesn't it? That she obviously seemingly disagrees with the idea of the organisation being deemed that. And clearly that's where she's kind of coming from, to be like, well, that's not going to stop me supporting them here.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what the repercussions are, because obviously loads of people will support her and buy her stuff. But what will the official response be from publishers, agents, the media when it comes to promoting her next book? Does the hit go out now on Sally Rooney from the reviewer's perspective, and whether or not
there will be a response from policing authorities. You'd imagine there will be, it's like with the Mulcara thing,
yeah,
and then the next few times NECAP appeared, there was someone in the crowd. People just go to let's see what they do, and then as soon as something happens, right, I'm going to report
that.
Again, we kind of can roll our eyes and say, why are they wasting their time? But from the police point of view, they say, well, a complaint's been made.
We're following up.
You don't want to live in a society where we decide we're not going to bother our arse, follow that up. Someone is going to make a complaint to some constabulary in the UK about Sally Rooney.
Like, the reason to me, I think she's also a bit of a winner for me this week, is that, like, there's obviously been an increase in talk about Palestine in the last couple of years, but it's not a new conflict. It's not a new thing that's happening. And Sally Rooney, most recently, her recent book, I can never get this right, Beautiful World, Where Are You? Which I actually could not finish. I really didn't like that book. But anyway, she had been approached by an Israeli publisher to say, can we publish this in Hebrew? And she was like, publish it in Hebrew, sure. Not with an Israeli publisher. And she stood out against that in 2021. So this is not like anything new for her. It's not something she's kind of jumped on a bandwagon of, but it's instead that it's something that she clearly is very principled about. And to me, that's a win.
Did you talk about U2's published statement when they made it?
Yes, we did. The two camps seem to be better late than never, or too little too late.
All these things can be true at the same time, can't they?
Yeah.
True, yeah.
Like that, it is better late than never, and it is too little too late.
Yeah. So,
like, when history comes, there'll be a nothing, big void up until when you look retrospectively, like, oh, when did U2 say anything? On the first night they said something, whatever the line was about where all the children of Israel, and then just watch the whole thing unfold.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, we should say something about this. And then
yes,
say something. And like, they are now on the record. And I think, nothing that people have done has had any impact from an artistic community, from the sports community, from the business community, has had any impact on anything so far. But maybe at some point a coalition emerges and tips into everyday Israelis who are like, actually, I've changed my mind about this. Because I don't see any.
Yeah.
I don't see any end.
The issue, I think what people, is the thing that people were most angry about, though, with U2 was hypocrisy more than not saying anything. Like, what if Oasis said? No, we were just talking about them. Lots of bands have said nothing. It's that, is it not that they were so quick to...
Well, they were activists.
They're activists and they're social justice activists. Mm. And, you know, they've lent their name to, and their whole kind of shtick...
Yeah,
for want of a better word, is identity representing the downtrodden and the oppressed, be they kind of AIDS victims or the victims of famine in Africa.
Bono's piece did definitely try and win everybody over with, here is my track record on this, but there's a big blind spot in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it's this conflict. It's like, oh, we're not experts. They did go to Kyiv straight away. You know, they did play in the subway in Kyiv.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, but he's not a virologist or an immunologist, but he still campaigned on AIDS. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's not an expert about that.
And in fairness, you don't really need to do that much reading, and not to sound like an internet crank, educate yourself on the vaccines, man.
Educate yourself! Educate yourself, Bono!
Yeah, I mean, he actually does have access to loads of people who could tell him what the story is.
Yeah.
And has, in the past, been very good at that, you know? So I think that's the disappointing thing. I was thinking about it in the aftermath. There's very few people in Irish history who are so polarizing as Bono and have led such an outsized life.
Yes.
To still be culturally relevant and people get angry about him at that level. So I think what Sally Rooney is doing is incredible, that like she has been consistently on the right side of this and that she is standing up for it, and it will have career ramifications for her. Impressive.
It's funny, again, it's the hypocrisy thing though. I remember speaking to people like, say, Steve Waller or Fiacna Brennan over the last couple of years, and they've been really, really I remember talking to Fiacna early on, and he was trying to defend Bono. He was kind of saying, listen, like, this guy, we don't understand the level of contacts he has, and all I keep telling myself is he's doing stuff in the background, you know, that he was, you know, and even then he acknowledged, look, I'm trying to convince myself a little bit here. Mm. And then after another few months, I spoke to him and he was just really, really disappointed. Just on a personal level, he felt let down by someone he obviously had so much time and respect for.
It does seem like people like him saying that, and he did an interview with The Observer, Sean O'Hagan. It seems like people got to him, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but actually that had an impact on him. And so now he's come out and said something, and hopefully, you know, that's a tipping point for some other people. But it hasn't, on social, all you can see is people responding negatively to it.
Yeah.
And as you say, to what end? Like, okay, Bono says this, but ultimately, what are we going to do about it? You know,
Sally Rooney, though, a winner of the week.
A winner.
Normal people are still pants. Who's your sinner of the week?
Well, I'm a bit divided on this one.
Oh, right.
So my not to ruin everybody by giving them an earworm of a Friday evening in summer, my favourite Christmas song. I've got a very specific reason for this. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, primarily because of the line, you know, they slide in that line, and mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
This is true.
Yes.
School started again today. I saw uniforms on the way in.
Crazy early, no?
22nd of August.
Yeah.
I'd be rioting if I had to go back to school now. Probably because
what we've been told is, well, the June bank holiday is the earliest date it can be. It's the 1st of June, and you have to do 160 something days of school before the June bank holiday, because then the leaving cert starts the 3rd of June.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the reason that they all seem to be saying is, oh, yeah, no, it's only really abnormally early because of the June bank holiday. The June bank holiday has to be between the 1st and the 7th of June every year. Every 7 years at least, and obviously that gets a bit skewed with leap years, it's on the 1st of June. And yet this does seem, I don't feel like 7 years ago or 6 years ago, because of leap year, I was having this conversation. Was I?
I don't think so.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I definitely don't remember having this conversation 6 years ago. It is weird.
There's also a very long break at June. Some schools take 3 to 5 days off in the first week of June.
Yes.
What's that about?
Yeah.
I was just, what are you doing? I mean, let them off early. Anyway.
Can I ask, you know the schools, they go back today.
Yeah.
And first years and stuff go in, and they go in for like an hour and collect their books.
Does that count as a full day?
Yeah. Does that count as a full day for the teachers?
For everybody, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Got to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at you. Always at the
bashing
bitter
the
word at the teachers.
Oh, I'm a big defender of the teachers. But I mean, come on.
Sorry, you're right. We should just let the kids go in and run amok in the school on their own and no responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. I'd be into that.
Lord of the Flies.
So what's your issue, though? The what fact that they're back so early.
School, the traffic is back. You have to think about lunches. Activities are starting earlier and earlier.
Oh, like, yes.
We have loads of after-school activities where it's like 4 hours in the car of an evening. And all the ashen-faced parents go, yeah, I know, it's terrible, this is great. Oh, little Johnny's getting on great at one of 12 activities.
Like, jiu-jitsu.
Come on.
Yeah. Yet there are people who would lobby for the summer holidays to be shorter, yeah.
Oh, I know, but those people are just killing.
They're monsters, aren't they?
They are. What
they're monsters.
Like, are they parents or are they... Who's saying?
They're mostly parents because they're just... The summer's a nightmare trying to deal with child minding and stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah. So put the kids away in school for the day. Okay, yeah, I'm with you now.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave them with a packet of biscuits and a remote control and maybe some whiskey. They'll be fine.
Yes, exactly. That is it. Parenting 101. I can't believe you brought up Christmas music. I cannot believe it. Anyway, so that's the sinner of the week. The fact that the schools are back. Who's your sinner of the week?
My sinner of the week, I'm going to tread so carefully when I talk about this. My sinner of the week is, as the Indo headline put it, a glamorous young woman at the centre of probe into electric picnic ticket scam believed to have netted more than 80,000.
Is it you?
Yes, it is me. I am the glamorous woman who is stealing everyone's
by your colleague.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Very glamorous as I appear right now.
Someone close to the woman has a source close to Saoirse. I mean, the woman has told us.
May have gone on. No, but there is obviously a lot of speculation, particularly online and on TikTok, about there's a lot of people in this country who have been scammed by a person in particular under the guise of giving them electric picnic tickets. And I don't know if you have done this in a while of trying to get tickets for these things week that they happen.
Yeah, sorry, but Jer has a kind of an analog approach to this, much like myself. And here last Friday, we just basically abused our position and gave a shout out and asked people to give us free tickets. And lo and behold, Jer ended up at Oasis.
You see, so the last couple of years, I've been doing the very same, which is a fantastic position for us to be in. But the last time I tried to buy EP tickets, like the regular folk do, was in 2022 when I decided I was going to go for the first time. Actually, I'd never been to any festival before, and it was kind of last minute. Now, there was the slight benefit that it was the first time back after COVID, so people who had bought tickets 2 years prior now couldn't go or didn't live here or didn't want to go or whatever, so there was more tickets in circulation. But it is still like an impossible minefield to try and not be scammed for a ticket.
Oh, how to transfer it?
You'll get people that'll say, I was on a Facebook page, say, of people who were buying and selling tickets.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I'd say for every one ticket that's for sale, there's like 50 that are definitely not for sale, and it's someone who's scamming.
And how does the scam work?
So they'll say, I have this ticket, I can transfer it over to you, just Revolut me the money, it'll be fine. And they'll show you all this proof, right? And it'll be things like, I say proof in quotation marks, it'll be things like,
them holding the tickets and that day's newspaper. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, we don't have like physical tickets anymore. So that changes things too. Now it's just, you have to just screen hope grab. That someone's screen grab is right. I remember a couple of years ago trying to find one for a friend. I had when it gets this late, late in the day, time for ticket, forgetting your tickets.
Yeah.
You kind of, one person might have one and you go, right, okay, we got three more to go. Come on, guys, you can do this. And most times it works, but sometimes you'd be stuck. I remember getting a couple of screenshots of people and it would be like lowercase e on the electric and capital P on picnic, like the confirmation page, say. And you're like, that's not real. Like, I can obviously see that it's not real. But this year, obviously, there just seems to be, and what's interesting about this particular run of scams is that a lot of people who are making videos about this having been scammed are, all reportedly saying, well, I know this person. I've met this person before. I had reason to believe this person was not actually going to scam me, because why would they? I know them. And a lot of the people have been caught up by the same person who has managed to amass a large chunk of change from this. And now, obviously, it's going to have to be...
And it is the two Johnnies Catfisher.
Exactly. And it was Colleen Rooney's account. So that is where they're at currently, of trying to figure out how to get the money back. But it's impossible not to. Like, if you open... someone will make a video about electric picnic must-haves, what you must pack for this festival.
Yes.
The comments will be like, I have four tickets available. I can't go because my sister, she fell off a cliff and I have to mind her dogs and her leg is broken and this is what we're getting. You're like, there's all these excuses, all these reasons. And sometimes they're believable, but you'll see the same one copied and pasted into 10 videos.
Does this not sound as believable as a mobile phone charger up my nose
You see what I mean? Like, exactly. There's things you gotta...
Why'd you gotta bring that up, Ger?
There's things you gotta look out for.
But... So when you if you were to buy it, how do you transfer the ticket? So I noticed at Altogether Now, I had, because I downloaded it, I had my wife's ticket on my phone and I couldn't send it to her.
Oh, really?
You couldn't transfer? You couldn't transfer it. Oh, the little kind of arrow thing in the top corner, you know, to transfer something. I couldn't transfer. I actually could transfer my ticket to her, but we did slightly different tickets because I was working there. So she just had a general ticket.
Yeah.
And I had a
performer
ticket. That was a tough 30 minutes on hosting a table quiz. Anyway.
Main stage.
Like flat out. Actually, I must put in for time in lieu. I like the teachers. That's a full day now. And it's a full day's work at that music festival for 30 minutes. But yeah, I couldn't send it. I just wonder, is that I assumed, it's been so long since I've been to a music festival, I thought they were all like that now.
Well, I think that's, they've tightened the window of transferring for a lot of different gigs, especially on Ticketmaster, just to try and stop that so that you can't be transferring things ahead of time. Sometimes transfer won't open until like the days before the festival or the gig or whatever it is. But usually, I had a ticket spare that I ended up sending to my cousin, and I was able to transfer that up until it was literally the day of, and I was really nervous thinking it was going to shut and I wouldn't be able to transfer, but you could. But I think that there is, unfortunately, I think the best way to get a second hand ticket from anyone really is just if you were looking on resale, because that's officially through Ticketmaster and it's all protected and it comes up as resale there, or if it's someone that you actually genuinely know and trust. But it's easier said than done, because when you are desperate for a ticket and all your friends are going, you want to go, or something changes in the lineup and now you have to be there, you will get desperate and you might not look at all the signs.
Toutless is the website that you can, it's like you need to be recommended by a friend who is already using it. Now, they have had scammers on it, but they're an Irish website.
That's great.
I swapped tickets for the Weir recently. It was the most middle class thing ever. And I trusted the person wasn't going to scam me for tickets to the Weir. I was like, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Whereas if it had been Electric Picnic or something, where, you know, it was for closing night, mind you.
Can you still pick up tickets for, say, it wouldn't be at a music festival, but say if there's a match on, would there be lads on the streets still selling tickets?
Oh, there were lads on the streets selling Oasis tickets.
Does that work though? I've always been really intrigued by that. Can you actually get a ticket that way? Who just has a spare, like, when they're hanging around there?
Well, the touts do. So Kieran Bradley had a story about four lads from Manchester who got scammed on tickets, came over, the tickets were fake, and then got tickets from a tout at the door.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we went to
out from Manchester. So,
we went to a match in the World Cup in France in '98. We were just on holidays, family holiday, and we went into Toulouse. And this was before there was kind of any legislation or anything. And the touts were just operating openly. I remember the fella we bought it off, and now we were just going to. We went to see Paraguay against Nigeria. There was not great demand for these tickets. We were just going to go to a match. So we got them for just barely over face value. But your man was quite open about it. He said, you know, he was a professional tout. He just and he had an office in London and everything that they would run it out of. And he'd spent his life just going around to the world to big events, like buying up as many tickets as he could and then selling them at a market. And it was a business. It was
an ethical business practice.
Yeah.
No.
But I remember it's
capitalism.
That was it. Yeah. That's how he worked. Like, my best ticket though to turn up, the 2014 All Ireland final. Great final. Actually watched it about 2 weeks ago again.
Tiff
and Kilkenny. Anyway, it goes without saying I wasn't talking about the football. Anyway, and my son had just been born, so I didn't have ticket. I said, no, leave that off. And then, I said to my wife, look,
you see your grand.
You know what? Everything seems fine here. It's all good. I'm actually just in the way. I'm kind of in the way. I'm in the way, haven't I? I'm in the way. So I went down and I asked the guard. I said, is there anyone selling tickets? And the guard said, here's one.
What?
Pulled out a free ticket.
Oh,
he said,
jammy.
Yeah.
You are giving away the world's greatest secret.
The guards.
You're not supposed to tell that on the radio.
Oh, are you not?
No.
Why?
Because it's like a secret code. Always ask the guards near the game. You get a ticket.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, we'll have to edit that out.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Live radio. Oh, my God. Anyway, it was, I didn't know it. But forget you heard that.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's great.
Now, look, every guard is going to be mithered by every listener to this show for the next 5 years. But I tell you, do it more often than not. It'll work.
Yeah. There you go. Great advice.
Wow.
If inadvertently given. Ger and Saoirse are going to stay with me. We'll be back with the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This
is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Saoirse Hanley, Ger Gilroy, still with me for the last bit of the show. Saoirse, as the most recent sitter of the Leaving Cert in the room, does today bring back very warm, happy memories for you?
Yes, who wants to know my points? Don't all say yes at once, no, I'm joking. Yes, I was thinking, so my sister, as I've mentioned on the show before, is 10 years younger than me exactly, which means it's a very strange scenario of looking. When she does things, I'm like, that was me 10 exact years ago, which is crazy. So obviously she got her Leaving Cert results today. And
how'd she do?
She did great and she was delighted. Her only ambition, aside from getting into college, was to beat our brother. Now, my little brother is the jammiest man in the whole entire world, ever. Ever. He just gets away with everything. And it's very middle child behaviour, if you ask me.
I was going to say, normally it's the baby.
No, middle child and the only boy. But he basically, it was school, he's very, very intelligent, but school was not something he was very passionate about. And the Leaving Cert, we were like, this is the great reckoning. This is where all of his kind of messing is going to come back to bite him. Mm. What year was it? 2020.
I didn't
sit
it.
He didn't sit a Leaving Cert. Wow. And he got predicted grade points. Points he would never have seen ever if he was at a Leaving Cert.
Ouch.
So my sister wanted to beat him. That was her main objective.
Did she?
They bet each other €50 that she would, and she did. Wow. So the money changed hands.
Did she beat you?
Yes.
Wow, fair play.
Oh, she beat
my
you
one
as well.
Stipulation was yes, beat him, but don't beat me. And she beat me. So she's officially the smartest of my three siblings.
Quite inflation
to,
over
according
10 years.
To the Leaving Certificate. But obviously delighted for her, because, you know, she worked really hard and she deserves it, and she should hopefully, this is the thing, like, this is the awful part of it that you don't know yet about college, right? Like, you don't know, you've no idea. And you still have another week to go. You kind of wait all summer to get your results, and you still have to wait and see if that is enough or whatever. So hopefully it will be, as I hope for many of all the students who open their piece of paper today. Is it still on paper? I don't know.
No, I don't think so anymore.
No.
You don't go into the school and get it?
No,
I don't think so. Because I wrote about McCollum this week. I was like, you've opened the envelope. And then I was like, have you opened the envelope? Oh,
they don't know what an envelope is.
They've never seen one before.
Yeah, what's this envelope?
I also didn't do these grades that are like H's.
Lick it.
And, yeah, see? I don't know what the grades mean. We were A's and B's and C's, and I have no idea what a H2 means.
Yeah.
But generally, I just think back and it gets mad, and I know this was a really weird time. And I think as well, what is weird is like, this might be a quirk. People, like, we have our debs in the summer before you start college, and then I started college in Dublin, and all of my Dublin friends were having their debs in like September, October
after they'd already graduated.
Yeah. Which I thought was...
Yeah. There'd been some trouble in the years leading up to our Leaving Cert. There was no debs. We didn't have a debs.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
We had, but the school made a point of not having anything to do with it. They wouldn't acknowledge it was happening. You couldn't be organised in school what? Hours. It could never even be talked about.
Who organised it?
A group of students came together and booked it. And for the same reason.
And was it
actually like, yeah, sorry, we're just not dealing with another phone call from the hotel in Kenny that like a hand dryer was pulled off a wall and thrown through a cubicle door or something.
And did that happen?
Or something.
After the summer?
Was there stabbing at
you? I don't know. No, I don't know.
We didn't have one. But this is the thing. I found it
weird.
Yeah,
but with a fork.
when the start is not good enough. But no, I just found, like, because when I did mine, I remember it was right before we started college, but everyone knew where they were going. So it was the last time you saw a lot of people from school, and you'd say, where are you off to? What are you going to do? Whereas, like, their debs was last week. They hadn't a notion where they were going. I think it's very strange. It's probably a cool hangover, I think. Anyway,
I'd say Saoirse is the closest to Leaving Cert. You're probably closest, but coming at it from the other angle.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, you'll be dealing. You know what all those grades are because you're beginning to deal with them.
True.
Anyway, how long are we? We're nearly finished the whole show. You haven't even asked me about the High Rocks.
Well, there you go. I mean,
you're doing High Rocks?
No, he
did it last weekend.
What?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, now our Monday show, the opening.
I did 3 hours and they made me cut it down. They were like, no, you can't dedicate the whole show to it, to yourself.
We should both change our winners, Jared.
Yeah, well, I was a bit disappointed that I wasn't one of them. Yeah, exactly.
Well, if I'd known.
The High Rocks.
Yeah.
No, but I didn't get sick afterwards, which tells me that I am a more supreme athlete than Richie Hogan.
And that's all you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you may have a hurler of the year amongst all those All-Irelands and All-Stars, but, you know, I was less sick than him.
What'd you make of it?
Yeah, it's actually a bit of fun.
Yeah,
it is. It's like, it's, you know, it's on one hand, it's a bit silly, but then isn't all sport a little silly if you think about it too deeply? It's the Johnny Pilkington, you know, of 30 men rolling around the muck and the shite for a lump of metal at the end of the day type thing, view of sport. But yeah, but it's good. It's good. Yeah, I would recommend it to people. And you don't have to be super fit. That's what I learned, actually.
Well, you need to run.
You need to run. But what I learned is, and from Richie's interview when he was on Off the Ball talking about it, he kind of was like, oh, my general fitness will get me through this because I'm fit. Actually, you don't need to be super fit. You just need to have practiced some of the specific movements in it. And once you do that...
Had you done
all
that?
Shape sizes get through it.
You had done that, had you?
Yeah, we had. We done it. We didn't kill ourselves. We did like a handful of sessions, but we did the few burpees or lunges, and there's a lot of them. So just once your body gets a bit
for a kilometer, and then you do an activity.
Yeah, 8 1-kilometer runs, split up by 8 activities.
Right. Kind of how long
stations
do you have to
as
do
they're called?
The station.
Yeah. You can as long as you want.
Right.
So the app, I did it in about 1 hour and 23 minutes, and I was 52 out of 100 athletes. So that's kind of slap bang average. So that's what you do it in.
Ambition to the average is finally...
Yeah, exactly. Mid-table mediocrity is what I've always aimed for, Ger. You know what I mean? You'll never impress, but you'll never be disappointed. That's what I tell my kids to. Anyway, on that note, Saoirse Hanley, Ger Gilroy, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.